Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Matt Beisler. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Doing well, Stephen. Good morning.
Yeah, how you like, let's be honest. Let's just be open and honest here. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the videos you've been receiving from us?
Two thumbs up.
Wow. How inspirational, how motivational. Do you watch the videos before you train? Does it add to your workout?
Like, two thumbs up. Up where?
Right. How do you utilize these? Do you play these for the entire for everyone? So get everyone fired up. Do you say, hey Peter, come here, I want you to see this. Does that light a fire under Peter's ass before training? Tell me, how do you play these? How do you enjoy these?
I've kept them to myself, but if you guys give me the green light and want me to share them with the team, I'm more than willing.
Look, I'm a team player. I want to help. If you think it'll motivate anyone or if it'll help take someone to the next level, then I sign off. I'm all in on that.
Please. Yeah, we're like Michael Jordan.
Everyone.
Yeah, right. We're trying to get you to our level.
I'd prefer you not show anybody anything of mine.
I love it, man. I love it, guys. I feel like we got a nice little group that we put together. We got a little bit of everything, you know. And I think I love the timing of the videos. You know, you never expect when
that's
when
true.
My phone's gonna ding. And every time it dings, it's like, oh boy, is this like a regular text from like a teammate, or I mean, this could be a video, could be a video from Steven. So, you know, I gotta sneak out and go to my special place, my pump up zone, just in case it is a video from Steven.
Right, there could be some profanity involved in the video, but the point
as we found on air last week when Nate opened up my video.
Right, that's exactly right.
What video are you guys talking about? What's up, you merd?
So we've basically just been sharing videos of us. And our workouts or running or walking or whatever we're doing. You know what? And it has. One day, I was not going to walk, and then you sent the video. I said, I'll be damned if I let Matt Beisler get out there and work and then send me a video, and I'm just going to sit on my butt. I'm not going to do it. And so I went out, and so you did motivate me. And so it is. It has been fun. So, you know, Matt, keep it up, man.
Yeah, I agree, Steven. It has been fun. I've promised you guys a video from our training facility from our practices, but I pulled up and they were very strict about us not being able to use our cell phones for this first week. So I've got to follow that protocol. But as soon as I'm able to, I'll start sending out some good videos to you guys.
So how's everything going with training?
It's going really well. Yeah, really well. I talked to you guys last week just about how excited we were just to simply get back onto the field and have some sort of routine and schedule. Yeah, last week was awesome. You know, still limited on just the amount of stuff we can do. We still have to, you know, stay as individuals. But our coaching staff has actually done a really good job just being creative, coming up with different drills that we can do. I think it's been really good. This week, I'm not feeling as sore as I was last week, which is a good sign. You know, last week I was pretty sore that first week coming back. It's usual, but this week I'm feeling much better.
You know, Nate made a good point earlier talking about Peter and all the comments he made in his Zoom conference. You hear different people from different sports and what they have to say and how they are showing leadership or not showing leadership. I mean, look, I would imagine that anyone that listens to what Peter has to say and how thorough he is as far as what the plan is and how they're going about everything, that's got to make you feel great that guy's in charge. Because I don't think people in other sports feel quite as great about who is in charge right now.
Yeah, I mean, his track record speaks for itself just with what he's been able to build and create. And he's got a little bit of everything that you would want in a coach and someone that's leading your team. I mean, his intensity, his work ethic is unmatched. His preparation, I could go down the line. His passion just to dive into something. You know, I think that's probably one of his best qualities, is that he's always willing to be the first guy to just like fully immerse himself into a situation, whether it's good or bad, or, you know, he doesn't know anything about it. I mean, he'll jump in and he'll start digging through it and he'll try to figure out a solution. And that's exactly kind of what happened with everything that's going on. I mean, I feel like for the first couple of weeks, people were just kind of like waiting and no one really knew like what to do or how to go about it. But Peter was behind the scenes from day one. I mean, he was just working on a plan to try and figure something out. And I mean, he really was. He was the guy behind all of this. So everything we see around the league, you know, teams coming back to training and following these protocols and these videos, and I mean, that's Peter. So, yeah, Steven, like you said, he's a good guy to have in your corner, and, you know, he's definitely a very good motivator.
So one of the things that he said at the news conference yesterday that stood out to me was, at least the way he said it, was that part of what led to him putting together that plan to get you guys to be able to go back to the facility was, he said, he talked to a bunch of the players and said, what would help you guys the most? And that players came back to him and said, it'd be nice if we could get to the facility, because I don't know if you were dealing with this, but he said some players, if they tried to go to a soccer field in their neighborhood, if they get recognized by people, all of a sudden it shows up on social media, and the next thing you know, there's people there trying to get autographs, and you know, you can't go and do your work. So I guess what stood out to me about that was, if what Peter was saying is true, is that he's actually listening to you guys. Because what we heard from Buster Olney earlier was that it seems like the Major League Baseball and the players are really more just like fighting with each other instead of, hey, let's sit down and see what are your concerns? What are our concerns? Can we find a way to address all those concerns so that we can go forward with this? Do you feel like that right now? I know there's a lot of stuff you guys all got to work out before you can get back to play, but I guess at least with Peter, do you feel like as players you're being listened to and your concerns and all that, or they're trying to address them?
Yeah. We have a very good relationship with our staff and with our ownership group. If there's ever an issue, I think most guys feel comfortable voicing our opinions. And I think, you know, our ownership group and Peter and his staff will try and do everything they can to kind of meet those needs and those requests. It doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, they go to bat for us a lot. Now that's exactly what happened in this situation. You know, Peter was on the phone with every guy. I think he tried to check in with everyone at least once a week. So that in itself, I don't know if most head coaches are doing that around the league, just having conversations with every single player on a weekly basis. But he would basically just ask, you know, how we're doing, and then he would ask, you know, is there anything that you need? You know, what are you missing right now in your workouts, in your life? Do you feel like you have everything that you need? Is there anything that the club can come by and, you know, drop off? And I remember the very first week, we literally had nothing. We had no equipment. So we were trying to do, like, push-ups and sit-ups in our basements and outside and stuff. And I think someone said, you know, well, it'd be nice to have a bike, an exercise bike. And literally, like, 2 days later, someone from the staff drove around a huge rental truck, like a big U-Haul, and it had a ton of our exercise bikes from our facility, and they went around to the players' houses and dropped off individual workout bikes at our basement. So, I mean, that's just one example of, okay, so now we have a bike, so we're doing biking, you know, spinning classes as a team. That really helps us. And then, you know, the next piece of it was, you know, we have this bike, you know, we're running, we're doing these workouts. We're really missing field access because, you know, we're not able to sprint, we're not able to touch the ball, and if we do, we have to go to a public place. And that's the example that you heard about, you know, a guy like Alan Pulido, who, you know, doesn't really know Kansas City that well, and so he just goes to the first field he sees, and that happens to be a really crowded field, and then someone takes a picture And 20 minutes later, there's 40 people there trying to get his autograph. And so that, I mean, that puts him in a dangerous position. And so, yeah, we needed to try and solve that. So that's something that Peter is really good at. He's really good at solving problems for us.
And we're visiting with Matt Beisler. And so, look, I know you can't probably talk too much about what's being proposed and what, you know, what Major League Soccer is trying to work out here. But there's been a bunch of reports about this idea of going to a place like Orlando to play maybe some sort of tournament or something. It's been reported by a lot of different soccer reporters that's one of the proposals being considered. When we did the Sporting Kansas City show on Tuesday, I asked Roger Espinoza a little bit about that, and he said, "Look, it's easy for me. I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I'm not married. I can go where I need to go to play, and it doesn't really change my life that much. But there's other guys that are in different situations." And I immediately thought, well, Bees has a couple kids, you know, he's married. And I'm not, again, I'm not asking you to get into what you want to do or don't want to do, but maybe just in human terms for us, could you put into perspective what it's like for you considering what the options are and all the things in your life that you have to evaluate right now as you guys try to figure out what the next steps are?
Yeah, so... I mean, I can talk about the Orlando thing because, I mean, it is real. It's a real proposal. As of now, it seems to be the best proposal or option that we have as a group to return to playing games. So, but the tough thing is how do we make it work? And we're basically on calls right now with the union and with the league on a daily basis, just trying to figure out ways to make it work, voicing our opinion on how we feel about it, you know, what the conditions are going to be like, how long the tournament's going to be. And so it really is, it's a hard process because how it works is you'll have a call with the league. So usually the commissioner will be on the phone. So the commissioner's on the phone. He'll relay a proposal or an idea or whatever the case is, information to the player reps who are all on a conference call together. So then, after the information is received from the player reps, usually what happens is, you know, we take that information and I hop on a call with Tim or with Graham or Roger, you know, some of our veteran leadership, and we kind of digest that information and we say, all right, here's what we heard. How do we want to present it to our guys? You know, is this something that we can text out to the group? Should we write an email, or is this information that we actually all need to hop on a call together and all see each other to present it? And lately, a lot of that information has been very important information. So we've had to organize a ton of calls for everyone to hop on and present, you know, these proposals. So we present the proposals, and then we let it settle about a day or two and let everyone digest the information. And then we have to go back to our players and say, all right, what are your guys' opinions? What are your thoughts? We have to gather those, and then we have to take that information we receive from our teammates, take it back to the union. Then the union has to digest, you know, all of the information from the players and the teams, and then we go back to the league. So, I mean, this whole thing, it takes about at least 4 or 5 days at a minimum. And this is just for, you know, one piece of information or a proposal. And then you have to go back and forth. So this, I mean, it is a constant process. We are constantly on calls trying to figure it out. In terms of me personally, you know, I think everybody wants to try and play games. And we, you know, if going down to Orlando in a tournament situation is the best option, then I think most players would be for it. I think what we're trying to figure out right now is how can we make that environment as player friendly as possible? Because, you know, the first proposal, I think it was, you know, you had to go down to Orlando and, you know, you had to, I think it was maybe like 75 days you were going to be down in Orlando. And you couldn't leave Orlando, or your families aren't allowed to go down to Orlando with you. And so being away from your family for 75 days, I mean, for some guys, that's an impossible ask. And that just puts players in a really tough situation and creates a lot of stress on your family. And you know, that's something we don't want to create. You know, we want to try and play games and we want to try and get it done, but we have to weigh the costs of that.
A lot to work out, for sure. No doubt about that, Matt. So, I don't know. Can you rate your level of optimism? I mean, how you listed a lot of challenges there.
I am. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that we're going to find a way to play games. I believe it will be in a tournament setting at first. As far as what the tournament's going to look like, I don't know that right now. But I think both sides are being aggressive in trying to get something done as quickly as possible. So, yeah, I mean, just simply that makes me optimistic.
Well, that certainly makes us feel good. I'm excited to hear that. Matt, thank you very much for the time, and we'll keep those videos coming.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
And you can use mine to motivate the whole team.
That's right.
I'm not like Jake. Jake's very modest, but if you need me to motivate the entire squad, I'm your guy. All right, Matt?
Steven, I cannot wait to show some of these guys these videos, because they're going to be like, who is this wild man from the woods?
Right. Exactly right.
He's from the north. He comes from the north.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's from the north.
Just let them know I'm king of the north.
King of the north.
Just let them know that.
John, baby, that's our boy.
Yeah. That's
and you know what? This will all end up with me making a live appearance there with you guys on your way to the MLS Cup. So
there we go.
That's how that'll work. So we've got this all planned out, man. Thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. See ya.
That's our captain, Matt Beisler. We'll take a break back after this with James Krause on WHB.